God bless you, saints of God. This is Lady Sandra Pate, and we thank you for coming to hear tonight a prophetic word being released by Bishop Dwight Pate. Yes, this is the year date, 1 year of Bishop being in the prayer house. He entered the prayer house on May the 8th, 2023, and he remains here. His first announcement was that after 21 days of being silent, he was silent for the first 21 days. And then he announced to all of us who had ears to hear that God is listening. Our voices are being heard. And so since May 8, 2023, Bishop Pate is shut in to pray for murder to stop and fear to leave the hearts of the people. A sovereign grace shift is happening to change the atmosphere, and God is moving by his spirit. Bishop's been ministering. The line is open every day, Monday through Friday at 12 noon, to hear a word. And during the summer months of June, July, and August, on Friday nights, the nation called in for 12 hours of prayer from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. And key ministry voices lifted up targeted prayers focused on murder ceasing and fear coming out of the hearts of the people. When Bishop Pate announced he was going to return to the prayer house, the news began reporting it on that day at 5 a.m. And every half hour, the city was updated that he was returning to the prayer house. Bishop is on the assignment to get 200,000 bottles of the holy anointed oil to the streets of Baton Rouge. Also, to unite praying grandmothers. Also, to see murder gone, fear gone. He delivered a prophetic word from the prayer house on November 11, 2023. And then he's delivered several other prophetic words from this place. Let me tell you about the prayer house. It's a little shack at 700 Scenic Highway in Baton Rouge, an abandoned used car lot shack. This is the place where Bishop felt the call of God, where he set up and preached first to 50 empty chairs. The prayer house has been a place of refuge, vision, direction, and communion with the Holy Spirit throughout Bishop Pate's ministry. To date, he shut up to pray three other times, in 1994 for 7.5 months, and during that time, thousands of bottles of the holy anointed oil were freely distributed, and many outstanding testimonies were broadcast on the WNDC radio station. And then again in 2000, he stayed for 5 months to identify with the pain and suffering of the elderly. And then his last prayer vigil was in 2014, where he received over 5,000 calls and did not leave the church grounds for 11.5 months. It was during the first prayer shut-in that the Lord spoke to him to pray over olive oil and distribute this holy anointed oil free of charge all over the world. It was also during this time that the Lord gave him the grace agreement. So we thank all of you for joining in, for being a part in whatever way you've contributed to believe God with us, to take murder off the streets and to remove fear out of the hearts of the people. We're so grateful for your love, your prayers, and your financial support. The news last reported a dramatic drop in the murder rate. The Baton Rouge Police Department and the East Baton Rouge Sheriff's Office reported a notable improvement in the murder rate in Baton Rouge. Bishop delivered another, that was in November of 2023. He delivered another prophetic word on December 26th. And during the month of December, 7 meetings went on under a tent on the lot of the prayer house. Many of you may attend it. It was a blessed time. And then all effort went to supporting the Festival of Life, standing with all the pastors in the city coming together for this life-changing event, where many came from other cities to help. 10,000 households were visited in the community of the prayer house, the heart of the inner city, the heart of the most desperate need. And during the 3 days of the festival, March 15 through 17, God intervened and he moved in the midst of severe weather and rain. Still, 3,000 attended, 568 souls were saved. More salvations happened daily as ministers walked the grounds to pray and to pass out the holy anointed oil. And afterwards, 40 pastors and ministers had dinner to celebrate together and to report on new members joining churches in our community. We're so grateful for all that God is doing. And then on April 8th, Bishop delivered another prophetic word. The Black Prophet in Babylon, the solar eclipse, time running out. And then 2 weekends ago, the Lit Festival happened. The Lit Festival was in the Memorial Stadium, which is walking distance from the prayer house. Praises went up, blessings came down, the atmosphere was fire, and hundreds of bottles of the holy anointed oil was distributed to children, to teens, and young adults. We're seeing revival underway in the young people. So now Bishop Tate has a word for us on tonight. We thank God that the man of God is a man of faith, a man of vision, and a man of obedience. Let's pray a blessing together now over Bishop Dwight Tate. Father, we just thank you for your man of God, your servant. We thank you for what you've deposited in him before time began, because you knew him even before you formed him in your mother's womb. So we thank you that for 45 years now, he's remained faithful to the vision that you've given him, to the assignment that you've given him. And God, we're seeing you breathe on Church Point Ministries. We're seeing you restore and heal and bring life to this community. We're grateful, God, that you are with us and moving by your Spirit. So we welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit on this phone line on tonight. God, have your way. Move on this at this time. Lead your people, God, out of bondage. We come to you to set the captives free. And we thank you for the word that you've deposited in the bishop's mouth. We thank you, Father, that as we celebrate this 1 year in the prayer house, we also, God, turn our heads to look straight ahead to see what you have for us now. For Father, we need direction. We need your help. We need, Lord God, your help in this time of need to remove murder off of these streets and fear out of the hearts of the people. We know that you did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So we thank you now for a powerful people, a loving people, people in their right minds, people with renewed minds who are able now to hear and receive the word that you have deposited in Bishop Tate. We thank you and we pray his strength in the Lord. And we thank you that he is able, well able, to face whatever comes because he is that man of faith. He is that man of vision, and he is in obedience. He's walking by faith and not by sight. And he's showing us all how to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless this sacred time now, God. We thank you, and may you be honored and glorified now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. And amen. Saints of God, here's Bishop Dwight Tate.
Praise God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lady Tate. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for the spiritual history of our journey in the prayer house. Hallelujah. Yes, folks, today represent 1 year. 1 year in the prayer house. Tonight, I'm going to be talking to you about Mephibosheth, the crippled son of Jonathan, a friend of David. The Lord showed me in the last week, I was praying for a sign. And I said, Lord, give me a sign that my time is not in vain in this prayer house. And the Lord supernaturally just started the phone to start ringing to a young lady testifying about receiving the oil on TikTok. And we have been receiving hundreds and hundreds of calls every day for the last week, It's just been unbelievable that we've just been overloaded, but the Lord is making a way because people are sowing to strengthen us to be able to, amen, aid the posters to get the oil out to those that are calling in from all over the United States. It's amazing when you look up one day and you're just getting hundreds of calls, and the next day, amen, you see 1,000 calls every other day. You know, so we need your prayers and your financial support. But let's get into the word that the Lord has given me concerning, amen, the direction of the church. You know, there's been some news coming out of Baton Rouge concerning another portion of our city has won that independence from our city, one of the richest area in our city, amen, has pulled away about 88,000 citizens, and some of the wealthiest people in the city is breaking away from Baton Rouge, leaving Baton Rouge, amen, in a struggle for finances, amen. These plans just didn't happen instantly, but they was put in motion many, many years ago. That Zachary pulled away, Baker pulled away, Greenwood Spring pulled away, and now St. George is pulled away. And that is a economic hit on the inner city of Baton Rouge. And Baton Rouge is truly a minority city now. It's a truly a minority city. And the Lord has spoke to my heart to speak once again to the black church in Baton Rouge and the black church in inner city America. I have shared with people that have followed my ministry over the years that in the year 1967, I had a vision of the shutdown of the whole world. And out of the shutdown of the entire world, I saw the concrete of inner city America being broken up into pieces. All of a sudden, I saw giant black men coming up out of a broken, amen, world in the city of America. And their shoulders united in the clouds, and their voices became as one man's voice. And it went forth like lightning out of their mouths, and it hit the continent of Africa, and it's like a holy fire went across the entire continent. And I asked the Lord 57 years ago, what is this? And the Lord showed me that before the great judgment fall on this modern day Babylon, America, that the black man and woman was set a new moral standard in Christianity in this country that would hold back the final judgment off of this country before this one world economic system take completely over. That God himself is going to raise up a righteous Christian economy in inner city America that would feed the hungry, clothe the naked, take in the stranger, visit those that are in prison. That the things that God commanded us through his son, Jesus Christ, to do would be fulfilled, amen, to the moral awakening of the children of the ex-slaves, that they will come alive to who Jesus Christ really is, and that he's not just God, but man that existed 2,000 years ago, but he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that God has hidden the black man and woman in America through slavery for this time to raise us up to become not only the leading voice to inner city America, but a voice that would reach Africa and other countries around the world and have an impact like America has never had on the world. And that our white brothers and sisters would team up and work together, go across inner city America and show the true grace and repentance of the cruelty of slavery and abuse and the Jim Crow mindset laws that's been upon this country ever since the 1890s. Now, the reason why I believe that the Holy Spirit of God came to me to bring up the story concerning Jonathan's son, King David, is because the black church in America is more political than Christian. It's more political than Christian. It believes in political parties more and the government more than the Word of God, sanctification, and Jesus Christ and the born again experience. You must be born again. You must be born again. This is what Jesus spoke to Nicodemus when he came and asked him, how could he receive eternal life? Jesus spoke plainly to him that you must be born again. And we understand the process of being born again is to believe in the virgin birth and in the work that Jesus done in his life and the crucifixion on the cross where he poured out his blood as the penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God's eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that without the shedding of blood, sin could not be washed away. That he poured his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Amen. He led captivity captive, gifts unto the children of men. And the scripture said to them that believe on him, he will give them power to become the sons of God. What is the work of God? Is to believe on him that God has sent. To believe on him that God has sent. Not on politics. Not on religion. Not on education. Not on talent. To believe in the blood and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And a beautiful story is concerning, is found in the ninth chapter. In the ninth chapter of 2 Samuel, the title of the message is Broken Feet at a Golden Table. Broken Feet at a Golden Table. Since 1964 and 5, the Voting Act and the Civil Rights Bill, the last over a half a century or more, spiritually, and politically, we have done more damage to our race of people than the wicked, cruel slave masters of full 500 years. Because in this hour, I will share with you some things. And all I'm asking you to do tonight is to have common sense. Common sense. I'm not asking none of you to get deep. Because if once as I have already became deep for you, I've been here seeking the face of the Lord for 1 year for you. The Bible said through the writings of Paul in Philippians, He said that you are partakers of my grace in God. You are partakers of my favor with God. Paul was saying, I spent 3 years in the desert, cold and freezing at night, burning up with heat in the day. And I received revelation from God. And I heard things that are unlawful to be repeated. And he said, because I have suffered and sought God for the revelation of who this man, Jesus, really was, now I can reveal this grace, this favor to you without your suffering, without your suffering. And the Bible says, amen, in Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? Baton Rouge is in trouble. The scripture says in Acts 1:8, not to leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And the Bible said that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one place at one accord, and suddenly the Spirit of God came as a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And suddenly appeared clothing tongues of fire that set upon each one of them. And it was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel that he said, in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh, that your sons and daughters will prophesy, old men will have dreams, and young men will have vision. On that day when Peter got up to proclaim the fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus said, he said on the day of the great feast, if any man thirst, let him come and drink, for out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the scripture tells us, it was talking about the promise that would come. So the scripture says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be a witness. That word in the original language, we can get our word, a martyr. That God will fill you so with his power, you not only will be willing to come from among them and be separate of people of the world, but God will give you power and ability and strength and courage to take a stand for the word of God. The scripture says, stand and do all to stand to fight the tricks and the mind tricks of the devil himself. In other words, God will fill you with the Holy Spirit of God, and it will give you the power, amen, to die if necessary, to stand for the truth. And knowing the truth will make us free. Broken feet and a golden table. It don't get too hard for God. Broken feet at a golden table. When King Saul and Jonathan, when they lost the battle against the enemies, and they heard that David had conquered, the nurse of this 5-year-old young boy at this time, the son of Jonathan, she was in such a rush to get him out of there. Because when a new family, a king, would take over a kingdom, everyone that was part of the royal family before, it was a governing law of rulership that every member of that family must die. And there would never be anyone to rise up and say, I have a right to the throne of the new king and the new renaissance, the new kingdom that's being established. And the scripture says that she trapped this child, and the child's feet were broken, broken, broken. And after David had established his kingdom, and everything was so beautiful, and everything was going well, and so much success flowing everywhere, the Bible said David cried out from his heart. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the household of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Jonathan and David had entered into a covenant with one another. And the Bible said they loved one another's souls. And Jonathan knew that David would be the king in his stead. And he said, if I die, and that's any of my family left, would you be good unto them? And David just happened to, through the Spirit of God, establish something that was better than gold. David established a table of mercy and kindness right that time. He established a table of mercy and kindness. Don't you remember those of you with some age on you? And we went through all the results, the remnants of the Jim Crow system, the marching and the civil rights movement and Dr. King and all the different political and religious leaders of that day, but declare we just want a seat at the table. We've been sitting at the table for a long, long time now. But the fruit of sitting at that table, we really don't have much to shout about. I'm speaking concerning the church. There would never would have been a so-called civil rights movement in America if it wasn't for the black church in America. The black church in America was the place that financed it. The black church in America was a place where they had all the meetings, where they slept. And they prayed and they believed God. And God worked a real miracle before the entire world. A nonviolent movement. And the Spirit of God and His grace liberated of people to sit at the table. When I look back in the realm of the Spirit after this year, we were sitting at a table with broken feet. We were sitting at a table that was not made of gold, but we were sitting at a table that was paid for by the same money that bought you and conquered you from the motherland. I say from the motherland, because there was no kindness and there was no forgiveness. Because right now, the hatred is rising up in this country like never before. The meanness is rising up in this country like never before. There was never kindness and mercy at the political table. It was a table of manipulation. It was a table of domination. It was a table where our leaders was like the poor little woman that needed her daughter delivered from demons. When Jesus, she cried out to Jesus to come and deliver her daughter. And Jesus said, I have not come to your people. I have come to the house of Israel. And this woman, by her mighty faith, she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. The black church in America has been living off the political crumbs that falls from a demonic table. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, political demons in high places. And David cried out, and there was of the household of Saul a servant named Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, and the king said unto them, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the household of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? Write that down. Kindness of God. We want kindness of God. That's what we've been seeing, the kindness of God in all of the campaigns that took place in this last year. We have seen men and women of every race come together and made great sacrifices to see the fulfillment of Baton Rouge becoming a city where God reigned, the blood over every home. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? And then he said, hallelujah. And the king said, is there not yet any of the household of Saul that I may show kindness? And Ziba said, the king Jonathan yet has a son, which is lame at his feet. He was saying, Jonathan has a son, but he won't be no harm to you. He's a cripple. His feet are crushed. Understand, this young man was a fugitive in his mind. He was a criminal in his mind. He knew that he should have been murdered because of the blood that was flowing in his veins, that he was an heir to the throne that David was sitting on. So this servant of Saul really was trying to protect this crippled son of Jonathan. He said, he'll do you no good. He can't hurt you. He's a cripple in his feet. He can't even stand up. Oh, you listen to me. Mephibosheth. I said Mephibosheth was crippled. He couldn't even stand up without crutches. And the king said unto him, where is he? Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodebar. Look where he's at, in Lodebar, which means barren pastures. He's in the ghetto beyond the ghetto. He's in a place where there's no employment. He's in a place where there's no jobs. He can't do you no harm, King. He's looked down by everybody. Even the poor look down on this kid. And he lives in silence, and he lives in fear. Because he knows that he has criminal charges against him just because of he was born. Have you ever felt? Is that the spirit that a lot of folks go through across the inner city of America? That you feel like a criminal just because you're born and dark skin? Could you imagine the knock on his doors? all these years, David been sitting on the throne, and you had to go to bed every night wondering if you're going to be taken away to be assassinated. He's in Lodibar. He's in a place where there's no jobs, no opportunity. He's in a place of suffering. He's in a place where they just live from one dime to the next. Are you listening to this preacher? I'm talking about broken feet at a golden table. But watch what David is about to do, and I prophesy unto you, those of us that have repented and is sold out to the sovereign grace move, God is getting ready to cover your broken feet up at a golden table. I say God is getting ready to cover your brokenness up at a golden table, because the table of God is a table of mercy and grace. I say mercy and grace. Understand, mercy will forgive you and grace will restore you. See, God has a golden table waiting on the black church in America to repent of her sins and to get right with God and to break out of the spirit of idolatry. All this idolatry of politics and all these cults we're involved in. And once we are free from these politics and these cults and this love for money, God is going to break the spirit of dependency upon everything but him off of us. And then all of a sudden he's going to usher in a season of you sitting at a golden table with no one seeing the brokenness of your past. And at that table, it's not going to be like this political table that most of you have been sitting at, calling yourself your career. This political table you set in the educational system. This political, amen, oh, you hear me, table you've been setting in, amen, in a secular world. Because that table in a secular world, it, amen, is controlled by whoever has bought the table. And that seat you've been setting in is not even a real seat. It's just a figment of your imagination. Because the same demon spirit that raped and looted and enslaved you for 500 years is still in control of the secular world that you are killing yourself to be a part of, and that you got to sell your soul just to be part, amen, of what you call success. What profits you to gain the world and lose your soul? And what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Is there anyone left? Because I made a covenant with my friend Jonathan. Is there anyone left that has his blood flowing through them? Is there anyone left that really loves God? Is there anyone left that is sold out? Is there anyone left that's quick to repent? Is there anyone that loves their brothers and sisters? Is there anyone that loves their neighbor? Is there anyone that call upon my name? He's in Lodibar. He's struggling with his bills. He's struggling with sickness in his body. He's going through a mental breakdown right now because he don't know how much longer he has to live. He feels a sense of death upon him. Oh, King, in one sense, what you want him for? He can't hurt you. He can't do wrong by you. He said, I don't want to hurt him. I want to bless him. God don't want to hurt you, black church. God don't want to hurt you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you grace. He wants to take the charges of sin off of you. more to you everything that should have been yours in the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David said, I got a golden table right on him. A golden table. It says nothing too hard for God. I prophesy that God has you on somebody's mind right now. That's going to bring you out of your lonely bar. Going to bring you out of your brokenness. Going to bring you out of your loneliness. I prophesy. Be ye separate and come from among them. Religion going to die and keep doing the deadly things that it's doing. Economics gonna, amen, come to naught and keep on destroying who they destroying. All you hear, politics, amen, are gonna leave the local, amen, and I prophesize to you, politics will not even be ran from the national office no longer. There's a world coming where politics will be ran from Rome. Rome. So these local politics that you're selling your soul out about right now will mean nothing in this season that's coming upon us. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. You have sold your soul to Satan for nothing. I don't want to get too emotional. And the Bible tells us, hallelujah. I say, and the Bible tells us, when Mephibosheth came in before David, David told him, fear not, for I will show you the kindness of Jonathan thy father, and restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thou servant that thou shouldest look upon me such as a dead dog I am? We got to understand, without Jesus, we ain't no more than a dog. You can't dress it up. You can't polish it up. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This man knew that his life was nothing. But David said, your life is everything. Because David had a golden table of mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. God told me to announce to you on this line, spread the message of mercy and grace to your loved ones. Spread the message that God has truly forgiven your sins and the hour that we're living in. Yes, there's going to be a restoring. Yes, there's going to be a restoration, but it will not be from the United States government, a city government. It's going to be from God himself. But God himself going to take through creativity and ideas the wealth of the wicked and turn it over to the righteous in this hour. Hallelujah. Do you want to sit at the golden table of Jesus Christ? Look what the word of the Lord says here. Hallelujah. Then the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master, now he's calling the young man, he's 25 by now, he was 5 when he was injured, now he's 25. Because it's 20 years later. In other words, God going to restore unto you the things, the cankerworm and parma worms and all the evil, they did, the things that was taken from you and abused from you. God going to restore it and multiply it. Watch this. Hallelujah. Somebody say broken feet at a golden table. Say it again, broken feet at a golden table. Say it again, broken feet at a golden table. Say it again, broken feet at a golden table, because there's nothing too hard for God. And the, hallelujah. And the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. The young man got back everything that his daddy should have had. The young man got everything that his grandfather had. Hallelujah. None of your work for Jesus that was pure is in vain. None of your suffering and your tears are in vain. This is a sovereign grace ship that has come. It has come. And the model city is Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And this sign of these 88,000 people, amen, just last week, and won their case to leave the minorities in all its poverty in Baton Rouge. They don't have to pay taxes over here in Baton Rouge. I believe my numbers is right. Amen. I say, I believe my numbers is right. Right now. Amen. They have taken $130 million worth of taxes out of the inner city since 2019. What could inner city Baton Rouge do with $130 million? Please help me, Jesus. I say, help me, Jesus. It's 86,000. This city will be the fifth largest city in Louisiana. Fifth largest city in Louisiana. And one of the reasons why it's so wealthy, you ready for this? It's going to blow you away. The city, the new city, is 65% Mormons. The Mormons, they don't play. They are disciplined. They work together. And up until a few years ago, a black person could not even be saved. Oh, I'm not fighting religion tonight. I'm just preaching the truth. I say I'm just preaching the truth. I say I'm just preaching the truth. Now look what God did for us. Amen. And the Bible says, and there for thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Ziba, your sons, your servants, going to till the land for him. In other words, this man woke up broke, a fugitive, afraid he's going to get killed, going to die. And when the evening time came, he had 35 servants, and he had land that King Saul had and that Jonathan had. And all the household of Saul, David made him a governor. Made him a governor. I say, David made him a governor. Let's get to the conclusion of the matter here tonight. You don't know what God is going to do for you before tomorrow at this time. God made this man who's sitting at the golden table of governor with people to work his land and bring the fruit to him. And then David said, not only will you have food for Micah, which is your son, but you're going to be able to eat at my table every day. I'm not ashamed of having a crippled son walking with me to sit at the table. I'm not ashamed of your brokenness. I'm going to cover your brokenness up with a golden table. I'm going to make you a governor and a landlord. And you won't have to ever go back to Lodibar. You won't ever have to go back to shame and fear. You won't ever have to go back to poverty. Because I made a covenant with your daddy. I'm in covenant with you because I was in covenant with your daddy. You and I are in covenant with God. The sovereign grace and the holy anointed are is only God keeping his covenant with us. That Baton Rouge will be a city where God reigns. The blood over every home. That God is raising this city up. And now, amen, a sign, amen, is the splitting of this city. For the last 30 years, amen, the wealthy people been dividing up Baton Rouge to get away from the minority people. And the minority people going to have to stop believing in politics and believe in Jesus Christ. And those that don't believe in Jesus Christ shall suffer the punishment of believing in wealth and power more than believing in God. Give you a few points. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy in time of need. Principle number one, we've been running after a seat to sit at a table with no meat. We've been running after a seat to sit at a table in government where we have to sell our souls. First of all, the seat is powerless, and the meeting or the game at the table is rigged. Politics is rigged, my brothers and sisters. I'm talking to the church. Church, like church in America, when are you going to realize politics is rigged? When are you going to realize the men and women you send there going to have to sell their soul to Satan to stay there? First of all, the seat is powerless. It takes 60 years for us to get a break in America. It takes 60 years in filling up every penitentiary in America. It takes 60 years. And in these 60 years, we have genocided 46% of our community sitting at the table. You got to make a covenant that you'll murder every baby that come out of a black woman's womb the same way they had to come into a covenant with Pharaoh to kill every male child that's born during the time of Moses, the same way they had to come in a covenant with Herod to kill every male child that was born in the time of Jesus. There's no difference today. You call yourself a child of God and you call yourself someone that chose someone to represent you, and you have chose someone that will go there behind closed doors and murder your grandchildren and turn your grandsons into women and your granddaughters into men. And that's who the black church has chosen to represent them at a political table controlled by money, controlled by the same people that made slaves out of you for the last 500 years. Principle number two, the household, the winning hand, controlling what you see at the table. I say the house holds the winning hand, controlling what you see at the table. Do I have my ready writers? Because you see a thing doesn't mean that you can receive it. Just because you see a thing don't mean you can receive it. The hands are quicker than the eyes, the old folks said. Things are always being redefined. Things are always being redefined. Laws are changing by the rich and mighty are changing the laws all the time. Every election, the laws are changing. What Christian person in their right mind would want to sit at a table with people that own completely your parents and grandparents and your great-great-grandparents and raped and destroyed them? Because the money systems of the world control the political system in America. And how do you think you're going to get something holy out of unholiness? I'm challenging you today. Challenging you tonight, this 1 year of being in the prayer house. Bring your broken feet to this golden table. Ain't nothing too hard for God. Principle number three. Things are always being redefined. What's being redefined, Brother Faith? Policies, politics, political, economics, education, entertainment. The system of religion is being redefined. Look at the weakness in the so-called fast-growing churches in America right now. Look in the black community and see these churches growing leaps and bounds and see how much pollution that's not Bible that's being preached. Doctrines of devils, because they're being manipulated and controlled by the political banking systems of Europe. So religion is being redefined even in the black Christian church. The system of religion is being redefined. Why? To qualify the people. Because if you went back to the word, you would not be able to send these people to Congress or to the houses, amen, of representatives to represent you when they don't believe in no Bible at all. When they don't believe in no Bible at all. The choice and approval by a board of ministers and church members for your representative. The politicians come around every election season. Principle number four. Policy makers from the community that take our seat at the table. We are honored with disappointment. That's what we're honored with. We're honored with dishonor. Some liars and thieves that are taking money secretly. And we're honored with a den of thieves. The table is magical. I say, see, the table you've been setting at economically, politically, and educationally, it's a magic table. It's magical. It's an illusion. Why? How could it be an illusion with all the experience you got, all the education you have, all the wealth you have? How can it be an illusion? How can it be magic? This is the magic, because you love money and you love power. You've been bewitched, bamboozled, false teachers of security. As a man thinketh, so is he. And as he continues to think, so he shall remain. Whatsoever pleasure of your vanity, I say, whatsoever pleasure of your vanity is there, but your lust to deceive will and be deceived totally because of your selfishness. What happened to a whole lot of these political, amen, economic, educational leaders that our church choose to represent us? What happened to a lot of them? They sent us to jail. They're caught with their hands in the cookie jar. Proverbs 21:13. Whosoever stoppeth his ear to the cry of the poor, he shall also cry himself, but shall not be heard. God said that if you're not going to listen to the cry of the poor, and you get up there at that magic table, that table of, and get bamboozled, amen, or you have that table of thieves, that table of liars, when you cry, God is not going to hear you. Whosoever stops his ear to the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Principle number five. Sitting at the table for 60 years, the black church been sitting there for 60 years. I'm headed home now. We've been sitting at that table. And it has not been a table of mercy. It has not been a table of kindness. It's been a table of thieves, a table of wickedness, a table that's owned by that one world banking system in Europe that involved 99% of every politician in America, black and white. Sitting at the table for 60 years, that black church been sitting at that table for 60 years. And those at the table hold the responsibility of the church decision. Whoever's sitting at that table, they hold the responsibility of the church decision. I say they hold the responsibility of the church decision. Are you listening to me? What have we decided on? This is what the black church has decided on. I said it once, I'm going to say it again. 26 million black babies to die. We decided on pushing the gay agenda. We decided on waiting on the government to help us or save us. Waiting for the wicked system that enslaved us to pay us for enslaving us. For the conquerors that enslaved us don't pay us for the century of hard labor. You've been bamboozled. You've been bewitched. Principle number six. The same wickedness is splitting the pie here in Baton Rouge with St. George. with Central, with Zachary, with Baker, all the other cities that broke out. And leaving the poor, uninformed minority people in this ghetto where I'm staying at right now for the last year. But I can't leave the prayer house till God show up at your house. God gonna raise this city up to be an example to come to New York, Chicago, L.A., Memphis, Atlanta, Jackson, Mississippi, Seattle, Washington, Denver. Come on, help me, somebody. San Diego. Hallelujah. St. Louis. Kentucky. Principle number 7. David was a righteous, successful king of God's kingdom and God's people. God placed in his heart to bless the house of his enemy. You got to be willing to bless your enemies to receive this last day move. I'm not angry with nobody that's splitting away from this city. I'm not angry with even the churches and the black politicians that's been taking advantage of the poor, ignorant people of this city. And you should be angry. You need to rise up and do something about it. Don't put your anger on them. Put your anger on the devil and sin and rise up and unite with other people that believe in the power of God's sovereign grace around America and create your own communities here in America. Listen to me. And God placed in David's heart to bless the house of Saul. Jonathan's son had broken feet and lived in Lodabar, a cripple in a place of no opportunity, a fugitive against the law, and had a family to care for. The boy was a cripple, fugitive, and a family, and in a place of non-employment. 8, David's mercy brought forgiveness. Forgave Saul for trying to kill him all those years. And David's grace restored generational wealth. I prophesy to every one of you that get involved with what God has spoke to me 57 years ago and then spoke to me in some of your cities. Y'all have seen the power of God flowing through my life through the power that's holding on and on all over America. And God, just this week, with signs and wonders, and hundreds of people are calling in right now as I talk to you. It's got so many calls that, amen, we had to reach out and start asking people to give special monies, amen, be able to pound the posters. Understand, from $4,500 to $5,000 a package, folks. That means if 1,000 people call in tomorrow, that's close to $4,500 to $5,000 a day that we got to come up with just to mail the oil out free to the people. If 100,000 people call in this month, we're going to need right at $500,000 cash just to give the oil away, just to mail it out. And that's not counting on we don't have $500,000 of oil in stock. So that means that's another $1 million would have to be accumulated. You think all this sacrifice you making, all this suffering that's been going on, 18 million barrels of oil, over $3 million been spent in oil and barrels and top and mailed out in these years, you think all this wealth and suffering and pain that's been given, amen, and absolutely free, you think God is not going to bring you to the golden table of mercy? Amen. He forgave you for all your sins, and now he's going to give you generational wealth. Generational wealth. Generational wealth. He's going to reach back and bless you. The government can't do it. Those people are full of hate. But the mercy of God can bless us the same way he blessed the Jews that came out of Egypt. He bankrupted Egypt. And 3.5 million millionaires left out of Egypt and went to that promised land. It took them 40 extra years to get there because of their rebellion. But they didn't need no wealth when they went to the promised land. They had houses they didn't have to build, crops they didn't have to plant. God said, I made you wealthy, I'm going to make you wealthier. I prophesy, somebody get up and shout right now, generational wealth that God going to restore. God going to bring back. He's setting you before a golden table. Yes, you got broken feet. Yes, you got to stumble your way in there to get to the table. You fighting your way all the way through to get to the table. But we're turning our back on politics, turning our back on this foolish secular education. We're turning our back on jobs that got us doing wicked stuff, coming against the things of God just to feed our children. Baton Rouge is going to be a city where God rained the blood over every home. I decree the prophecy of 57 years coming forth right now in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I prophesy to every one of you, start sharing your testimony on every way you can across America, every type of internet service. Start sharing it. Load it down. Load it down. Yes, I want to be able to have to pray tomorrow. Lord, give me $10 million just to mail it all out. That's the prayer I want to pray tomorrow. Why? I'm sitting at a golden table. I'm sitting at a golden table. Let me close. Here it is. Let us, the city will launch the Sovereign Grace Movement, restoring true Christianity, truth, and mercy and grace working together. We've been receiving mercy, getting saved, but now we got to receive grace, because grace restores everything. Grace restores everything. Grace restores everything, because the body of Christ is a rich family. I say God's true body is a rich body that forgives and gives, forgives and gives. You can't be saved without wanting to give. You cannot be saved without forgiving people, because God forgave you. Amen. When Mephibosheth came before David, he fell down and said, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog. I don't deserve to live. David said, you're not a dog. I made a covenant with your daddy. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make you covenant. I'm going to give you the land of your granddaddy and your daddy, and I'm going to give you 35 servants to work the land for you. And you don't even have to eat off the land, because every day you're going to eat continually at my table. Hallelujah. God's sovereign grace shift. An example of his sovereign grace shift in the Old Testament. And God is taking this state that passed the worst grandfather laws in America, that damn black pines, that make this one of the worst places in America. Old people go to prison here than anywhere in the world. Most of the children here grow up in single households, 90%. Every negative thing you could think of, Louisiana is at the bottom of the list. Where grace abounds, God's grace abounds most so. I'm so glad I know I'm forgiven. You forgiven out there too. And God is getting ready to shine his glory, send all of us at a golden table. I want you to join this golden table movement. Broken feet at a golden table movement. We're going to push this thing. Push this thing. And God's going to bring all the wealth in that we need. And it's going to start flowing all by itself. I see billionaires getting saved. I'm not millionaire. I see billionaires. They prophesied to me right on these grounds. Amen. Are you listening to me? 29 years ago, that 2 billionaires was going to lose $2 billion cash in this movement. I know in my heart this is the season that God's going to do things unthinkable, things that's unimaginable. Hallelujah. And guess what? I don't mind receiving it first. Hallelujah. Thank you for suffering. Amen. Sacrificing this last year with me in this prayer house. And remember, I can't leave the prayer house till God show up at your house. At your house. So let's restore what true Christianity is. True Christianity has forgiveness, which is mercy, and grace, which is restoring everything. Let us create a city of promise in this nation called Baton Rouge. Then split this city up like a piece of pie. They had left the minority people to themselves with no money, no jobs. Are you listening to me? But guess what? I prophesied this city gonna have Christians coming from around the world. The real Christian movement gonna save this city. If God could use a man up there in Charlotte, Carolina, and have millions and millions of people that come there years ago when I was young in the ministry and had the economy of Charlotte booming, I know what God can do here at Baton Rouge. If God can raise up a man out in a cornfield in Oklahoma and build a university and have people come from all over the world there and create an economy, I know what God can do right here in Baton Rouge. If God can raise up a man here, amen, two men here in Baton Rouge, amen, all you hear me, one that has the largest cell group church right now in America and got churches by the thousands all over the world, amen, and another evangelist he raised up, two of them right here in this city. They're all on the outside of the city now. They're not in the middle of the city because the city been cut up to pieces. And those two large ministries is not in the ghetto here, God. If God can do that, he can save Baton Rouge through Christians coming in here getting healed and blessed, seminars and vacations and everything. Let's turn this into the Holy Land. Let's turn Baton Rouge into a modern-day Holy Land. But just your thought of coming here, God going to start healing. God going to start moving by his sovereign grace. And I want to leave you with this thought. Through God's imagination, write this down, through God's imagination, within you and I and us, because of the sovereign grace shift in the holy anointed oil, let's claim Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. I've been speaking to you tonight on broken feet at a golden table. The last word God gave me for those that's on this line that have never given anything. Those on the line that don't believe the prophecies and things that God has told me, but you just love the anointing that flows and the healings and the blessings you've been getting. So guess what I'm going to leave you with? Write this thought down if you don't hear nothing else I said tonight. Those of you that don't believe, I want to talk to those that don't believe. Because treasures and hearts end up in the same place. If you believe, you'll be engaged sometime. Treasures and hearts show up in the same place. To those of you that don't believe, I ask you tonight to help me. You ain't got to believe the visions and the dreams. I'm asking you to help because I believe. Help me tonight with your finances, your prayers. Help me. Help me. And I guarantee that somebody going to see everything that God showed me in 1967. So if you don't believe in the vision, the dream, the giant black men and women setting a new holy standard across America, a new church coming out of this black church that's been political, if you don't believe all, believe, you don't believe me, just help me anyway. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you tonight that you're speaking to the people of God. In Jesus' name, bless everyone. It's been doing so much to make this dream and this vision come to pass. And Lord, if I got to stay here another year or two, I'm willing to do it. Because I know what you showed me. I know what you said. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Join us tomorrow at 12 o'clock. I want you to listen to this message twice. But join us tomorrow at 12 o'clock. I'll be back at 12 o'clock tomorrow. Pray, sow a seed, and help us get these packages out. Because the calls are coming in. We hadn't even checked on how many people called on today. I said we hadn't even checked on how many people called today. We love you. Lady Payne and I love you. The staff love you. Pay for my staff. They've been working day and night, day and night, day and night. Have a wonderful rest of the day. In Jesus' name, I thank you with everything that's in me. We thank you. God bless you. Have a good night. 1 year in the prayer house.